Hello, brothers and sisters, and welcome once more to Food for the Journey. Today, we begin with the readings for Monday, August 9th, and this is the feast of St. Teresa Benedicta of the Cross. Her name was Edith Stein, and she was born as the youngest of 11 children in a Jewish couple in Germany on October 12, 1891, which was the Jewish Day of Atonement, and a decisive encounter with the writings of Teresa of Avila drew her into the church, and 11 years later into the Carmelite order. She took the name Teresa Benedicta of the Cross. On August 2, 1942, the Gestapo arrested Teresa and her blood sister Rosa at the Carmel in Echt, Netherlands. She died at Auschwitz, August 9th. Her last words to Rosa before leaving the Carmel were, "Come, we are going for our people." And in 1999, St. John Paul II declared this eminent daughter of Israel and faithful daughter of the Church, co-patroness of Europe. This is St. Teresa Benedicta of the Cross. I really urge you to read something about her if you possibly can. She's a marvelous woman with great faith. Let's take a look now at the first reading for the Mass. Here is from Deuteronomy chapter 10, verses 12 to 22. Moses said to the people, "And now, Israel, what does the Lord your God ask of you but to fear the Lord?" Now, you know the meaning of the word fear, to reverence. I've said this before, but there may be people hearing it today who have not heard it before. I just want to say to you that to fear doesn't mean to be frightened. It means to give God what is due to him, worship, and follow his ways exactly, to love and serve the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, to keep the commandments and statutes of the Lord, which I enjoin on you today for your own good, for your own good. Think, the heavens, even the highest heavens, belong to the Lord your God, as well as the earth and everything on it. Yet in his love for your fathers, the Lord was so attached to them as to choose you, their descendants, in preference to all other peoples, as indeed he has now done. Circumcise your hearts, therefore, and be no longer stiff-necked. For the Lord your God is the God of gods, the Lord of lords, the great God, mighty and awesome, who has no favorites, accepts no bribes, who executes justice for the orphan and the widow, and befriends the alien, feeding and clothing him. So you too must befriend the alien, for you were once aliens yourselves in the land of Egypt. The Lord your God shall you fear, and him shall you serve. Hold fast to him and swear by his name. He is your glory. He, your God, who has done for you those great and terrible things which your own eyes have seen. Your ancestors went down to Egypt 70 strong, and now the Lord your God has made you as numerous as the stars of the sky. God rescued us, revealed himself to us, came to us. May we return that with praise and glory all the days of our lives, what God has done for us. But he gives us the right of free choice. We can say, "Oh, well, that's for other people. It's not for me." It's the call for every one of us if we want to live forever in heaven. And we do, don't we? So please, brothers and sisters, listen to the Lord. Read his word daily. Read his word. It wouldn't take you more than 10 minutes to read it, but let it, if you can, another 5 minutes to just let it grow in your heart what God has asked of us day by day. Psalm 147 tells us, praise the Lord, Jerusalem. Glorify the Lord, O Jerusalem. Praise your God, O Zion, for he has strengthened the bars of your gates. He's blessed your children within you. He's granted peace in your borders. With the best of wheat he fills you. He sends forth his command to the earth. Swiftly runs his word. He has proclaimed his word to Jacob, his statutes and his ordinances to Israel. He has not done thus for any other nation. His ordinances he has not made known to them. Well, I think that speaks for itself. May we praise the Lord by following him, listening to his word, living our lives according to his word, passing them on to our children and our grandchildren, to our friends and other relatives. Let you become, in a sense, a preacher of the gospel just by the way you live. May God bless you abundantly. And the Gospel of Matthew today, chapter 17, verses 22 to 27. As Jesus and his disciples were gathering in Galilee, Jesus said to them, the Son of Man is to be handed over to men, and they will kill him, and he will be raised on the third day. And they were overwhelmed with grief. When they came to Capernaum, the collectors of the temple tax approached Peter and said, does not your teacher pay the temple tax? Yes, he said. When he came into the house before he had time to speak, Jesus asked him, what is your opinion, Simon? From whom do the kings of the earth take tolls or census tax? From their subjects or from foreigners? When he said from foreigners, Jesus said to him, then the subjects are exempt. But that we may not offend them, go to the sea, drop in a hook, and take the first fish that comes up, open its mouth, and you will find a coin worth twice the temple tax. Give that to them for me and for you. I wanted to comment, as we look at these readings, that in the book of Exodus, chapter 30, verses 11 to 13, that according to the law of Moses, the people of Israel were required to pay the temple tax, which was paid as a ransom. We know that Jesus is the one who paid our ransom with his own blood. Brothers and sisters, God has been so good to us in so many ways. Even if we're going through trials right now, turn to him because he will help you. Even if it's quiet for days, he will help you. He never fails. God loves us. And that doesn't mean you go to church every Sunday. It means that you say, the Lord is my Savior. Jesus Christ, Son of the Father, is my Savior. Let me read something to you that has come from St. Teresa Benedicta of the Cross. That's Edith Stein. She was a German philosopher. She was a convert from Judaism, who became a Carmelite nun and was put to death at Auschwitz. And she writes this, the burden of the cross that Christ assumed is that of the human nature with all its consequences in sin and suffering to which fallen humanity is subject. The meaning of the way of the cross is to carry this burden out of the world. The restoration of freed humanity to the heart of the Heavenly Father, taking on the status of a child, is the free gift of grace, of merciful love. But this may not occur at the expense of divine holiness and justice. The entire sum of human failures from the first day from the first fall up to the day of judgment must be blotted out by a corresponding measure of expiation. When someone desires to suffer, it is not merely a pious reminder of the suffering of the Lord. Voluntary expiatory suffering is what truly and really unites one to the Lord intimately. When it arises, it comes from an already existing relationship with Christ. For by nature, a person flees from suffering. Only one whose spiritual eyes have been opened to the supernatural correlations of worldly events can desire suffering in expiation. And this is only possible for Peter, whose members are given life by the head, receive his power, his meaning, and his direction. Brothers and sisters, God died for us. He died for you and for me. He died because he loved us, because he wants us to be with him in heaven. This is real. I've said this before, but some people think this is a fairy tale of some kind. It isn't. God sees us. God knows us at all times. And he gave his life for us, an excruciating death for us, that we might come to heaven. Yes, of course, there may be some purgatory time for sin. But brothers and sisters, the closer we come to the Lord and the more fully we are willing to follow him, that means to obey his word. And as we do that, God will hear us, and he will bless us, and he will help us to do that. One of the things I know that people will say, well, how do you carry your cross? Brothers and sisters, I pray in the morning. I pray at noon, just for a few minutes. I don't have many minutes either, just like you, but a few minutes. And then at night, I pray, and I keep on praying that way until God answers my prayer. And brothers and sisters, he loves you. You know you're putting your prayer into the hands of the all-loving God. No one could love us like God does through Jesus. Nobody knows who loves us. Brothers and sisters, let us love him with all of our hearts. Let us kiss the Bible when we read his word. Let us turn to him many times a day and just say anything like, Jesus, I love you. Jesus, pray for me. Jesus, give me hope in you. Just a little prayer like that throughout the day draws you closer and closer to him. And that's what he wants, because he wants the world to know that he does love them and love us. And he paid with his life in an excruciating death. I cannot imagine being nailed to wood and hung up with a crown of thorns on our head and a stab in our side. But he, brothers and sisters, did that for us. May God bless you.
For a free copy of my booklet, Hope in the Midst of Suffering, please call our toll-free number 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789. Or go to our website, renewalministries.net/FFJ. That's renewalministries.net/FFJ.